It's Open Mic Friday. And I'm Chris Ann. Am I Chris Ann?
No, you're Tom Baker.
Yes, who are you?
Chris Ann.
Yes.
No, I'm Tom Baker.
No. No, I guarantee that. No problem in figuring that one out. Because I'm good looking. All right, Tom Baker here on AM 850 KFUO, Inspirational Christian Radio. You are listening to Law and Gospel, and I have with me Chris Ann, who's back. She's going to be someday, hopefully, going back to California to continue with the movie.
Someday.
But right now, she's here. And so, Open Mic Friday means you can phone us up here on this Friday, July the 24th. The numbers are 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And what are we going to do Monday? Would it not be wonderful were Jesus to provide us with signs, miracles, and evidence that he truly is the Messiah, as he did when he was on earth before his crucifixion? Would not more people then decide to come to faith in him? That is the subject of our next broadcast of Law and Gospel. But this time, Open Mic Friday, what is the subject for today, Chris Ann? What do you want to talk about? Okay, then we'll go right to the first email that we have from... You forget the email I gave you, eh? Okay. Let's listen to this email. And I think this really does touch you in Hollywood.
Yes, it does.
While in a movie rental store, a pastor was asked by a woman what he did for a living. He said he was a Lutheran pastor. She then asked him what the primary difference was between her Baptist denomination and the Lutheran belief. The pastor then asked the woman whether there was a time during her church services for decisions for Christ. These were times in which the person was asked to make Christ their Lord and Savior and to invite him into their heart. The woman responded that was true, that there were decision times in her church services. The pastor said he would put the issue in a different light. The most important question to contemplate is not what we have done, but what God has done. So rather than asking, have you made a decision for Christ, ask instead, has Jesus made a decision for you? Instead of asking, have I accepted the Lord, ask instead, has the Lord accepted me? Instead of asking, have you surrendered your whole life to Jesus, ask instead, has God given his whole life for me? And the answer to these questions is an unwavering yes. The woman became tearful and said that was the most beautiful thing she had ever heard. Now, the emphasis, instead of being on what she had done, was rather on the perfect and finished work of Christ on her behalf on the cross. And when we place the emphasis on Christ and his work, we can have the absolute assurance that God loves us and has adopted us as his children. Now, the question I'm going to ask you, Chris Ann, it seems like this woman was really excited about this. She became tearful and said that that was the most beautiful thing she had ever heard. Why hadn't she ever heard it before?
You know what I think in all those churches? I think, honestly, I think that it's just, it makes you feel good that you feel like you can do something. Like you feel a sense of accomplishment. You feel it. Because a lot of people try to invite Christ into the heart because they really want that relationship. But for whatever reason, it's not there yet. I'm not really sure. Because I had that experience.
But that's a good insight, you said. In fact, it's a distinction between living under the law and...
Living under the gospel.
Living under the gospel. That when you live under the law, you just feel you have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Hollywood, do many people become an actor without ever acting, without ever going to acting school, without ever showing up?
Some do.
Some do?
It's all about who you know. But most do not. That's correct.
Yes, most do not. Mm-hmm. In other words, that in the Hollywood level, you don't get ahead unless you put out. So if you don't have the skills sometimes, well, you may get because you know somebody on a film, but if you're not that good, you're not going to be on another one maybe. And I think what people do, they transfer that over to their relationship with God.
Well, I mean, isn't it true that we're people with emotions and feelings?
I mean,
isn't that who we are? And so we feel good and bad about all kinds of things that happen to us. And there's no feelings in the Bible. Everything is attitude, right?
There's no feelings in the Bible. Let's expand on that a little bit. Is that the assurance that you are right with God is not based on your feelings. It's rather based on your attitude of faith in His promises.
Correct. But see, I don't focus so much on, like, if I'm going to heaven or not, because I already know that I am.
Yes.
Whether something's true or not, whether I believe in that doesn't make it not true. So if God makes a promise and says, I'm taking you to heaven, you're wearing the robe of righteousness, it doesn't matter how I feel about it, it's the truth. Right?
Yes.
Yes. But what I focus on is my day-to-day life. Like, because God asks us to pray for things and to continue on that walk. And so when we start living in His will, like, His will becomes our will, which I totally understand because you're more in the Word. But then there's other times where you, it says, pray without ceasing, always ask for things. And when you don't get what you want, even if it's, you still think it's in His will, then you're going to feel rejected or you're going to feel bad or you're going to feel something. And so it leads to disappointment. And I feel like that might be one of the reasons people fall away.
That they fall away because their experience isn't in sync with what they thought God should be doing.
Right. But I don't know how far they really fall away. It doesn't mean that God ever lets them get too far or they just get so angry they get in their head. And that's why you always say your heart needs to catch up with your head or vice versa. Your head needs to catch up with your heart. Because I know a lot of people like that. They pray and they're waiting to be blessed, waiting to be blessed, waiting to be blessed.
The numbers here are 505-7850. We're going to go to the phone in a moment here. We got Mike waiting for us. I just want to give out the numbers, 505-7850, toll-free, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address is lawgospel@kfuo.org. That's lawgospel@kfuo.org. We've got Mike waiting on the phone here. We should have you on in a moment, Mike. We've just got to get Buzz back in the studio. He should be back here any moment. In the meantime, let's kind of follow up on what you were saying, Chrisanne, that how to plead the blood of Jesus we talked about yesterday. Did you hear some of that?
Yes.
And there's a perfect example that people think when they plead the blood of Jesus, then everything is going to work out okay. And when they don't plead the blood of Jesus, then they're going to be in trouble. As I said, let's go right now and talk to Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
You're the first one on this Open Mic Friday. And you're Mike.
Yes, sir. I'd like to just make a comment on what you all were discussing.
Yes.
I understand what you're trying to say, but making a decision for Christ is not a work. That's not considered, because I've heard you speak about good works, and the scripture speaks specifically against, it's not anything that we do of our righteousness. That I believe that's Ephesians. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, that any lest any man should boast. But making a decision for Christ is not a work.
What Bible verse are you quoting?
I think that's Ephesians.
No. That's our Bible verse to show that you can't do a work.
Right.
What's the Bible verse you're quoting that decisions you make are not your works?
Well, the thing is that in one of the Gospels, Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. The word will means choice. Now, I understand what you...
What Bible verse is that?
It's in the Gospels. I have to find it and probably give you a call back on it if you'll.
Yeah, because I don't recall that verse in the way you mean it. For you to say, for example, that your decisions aren't part of your works, and you can make sinful decisions and they wouldn't be sins.
Well, see, the thing is that when Jesus done what he done on the cross and he finished the work, you know, after he said it is finished, it was done. And in that sense, there's nothing that we can do to inherit eternal life or inherit what only He could do,
including making a decision.
Well, that's already done. So
what do you mean it's already done?
What He done, the finished work of
Calvary,
is what I mean.
What He's done is finished.
Right,
but you
have to let me finish saying what I'm saying, or you're interrupting.
Okay.
You're not giving me a chance to.
All right.
What He's done on the cross is He finished the work. So therefore, He offers it to us. Now, it's our decision if we want to take it or not. That's just like if I called you, Pastor Beck, and was like, well, I believe that the Lord is telling me to, you know, give you $100 or $1,000. Now, if I offer that to you, you know, it's nothing that you did for me to offer it to you. I just want to offer it to you because I believe that the Lord is telling me to do it. But if you don't accept it, if you say, you know, I appreciate that, Mike, but I'm actually okay, and or you can take it, and I just say you can do whatever you want to do with it. But that's on you if you don't receive. But that's not, it's the same thing with salvation, but it's not a work. It's not considered a work. Because like I said, I'll find the verse and I'll give you a call back, and hopefully I'll be able to get through with the verse where Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. That means anybody can come, but it's your choice if you want to come or not.
And okay, then okay Mike, we'll
also that says that choose you this day. I think that's Joshua, whom you were served. So see, they had a choice if they wanted to serve God or if they wanted to worship false gods.
Okay, Mike, you find that. Mike, you find that Bible verse and get back to us, because there is no such Bible verse. But how do you respond to somebody like that, Mike? I'm sorry, Chris Ann, where he says our decisions are not our works.
Well, that is how a lot of my friends believe, and this is the same argument they give me.
So if they make a decision to shoot somebody, that's not a work.
Well, of course, I mean, the way you're thinking, no, of course not. I mean, yes, of course it is.
Right.
Right.
Well, since when have our decisions not been part of what God looks at as works? See, God looks at works, not just deeds, but also thoughts and words. If you look at the Sermon on the Mount, Mike, for example, you will see that you are committing murder not just if you do it, but if you even think about doing it. So thoughts, which a decision would be, you've made a decision, God definitely considers a work. I think what he's doing here, Chris Ann, is it's very clear that Ephesians says, you're not saved by your works. Since he thinks he is saved by his decision, he therefore says it's not a work. You understand
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So he defines what is a work, not by what God says is a work, but rather what he says is not a work. It can't be a work, because if I make a decision. And the other problem you have here, Mike, is the verses that you're using. When Joshua says to the people, choose this day whom you will serve, we make a distinction in Lutheran theology, you're well aware of, Chris Ann, between justification and
sanctification.
Okay, now when Joshua is saying, choose you this day, to whom is he talking to? Is he talking to unbelievers, or is he talking to believers?
Oh, believers.
Right. Now, can believers make choices?
Sure.
Yes. So you can't take verses out of the Bible that are referring to believers and apply them to unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
An unbeliever is dead in sin. So an unbeliever is unable to do any work at all.
So that verse in Joshua, choose this day whom you will serve, is a promise? No.
No,
it's still a command.
But it's to the believer.
Right.
Believers
so
can make choices. Yes.
Then wouldn't that be a work?
Yes, it is.
But it's sanctification.
Yes, it's part of that. And if they do choose the Holy Spirit and work with him, who gets all the credit?
God does.
God does. And we don't call that a good work. You know what the Bible calls that?
The fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Very good. Yeah. A fruit of the Holy Spirit. Theology is the art of making distinctions. And let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Frank. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Pastor. Boy, you've got a good conversation going on. yeah, it seems like the biggest thing that they can't understand, it took me a long time, too, when I first came back into Lutheranism, and I was properly catechized, primarily through the broadcasting at KFUO, which in turn directed me to the Lutheran confessions, to my local church, and the Word and the sacraments in general. But I struggled with this to the point where I actually angered Dr. Montgomery once, because it's very difficult for a man with your reason to come in here and see that everything is gift language in the Scriptures, and that the only thing that a sinner can do is reject God and sin and continue to sin. And this is what I think the earlier caller, I missed his name, is forgetting, is that, yeah, you can make decisions, but those decisions are always to reject God. Everything else is the grace of God. It's a gift, and it's the Holy Spirit, like the your current caller said, coming in and sanctifying you. Like Luther said in his explanation of the third article, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, come to the Lord Jesus, but the Holy Spirit does all this and sanctifies me and keeps me in the one true faith. This is so humbling, the passiveness of our recipientship of the grace of God. And I think that's what the callers are struggling with.
Now, Chris Ann is from Hollywood. Frank, I believe you're from Las Vegas right now. Do you find the same kind of people that Chris Ann is coming up to, where people don't think that decision is a work they do?
Well, yeah, because our human logic doesn't look at it that way, because the old Adam is so pervasive that we're totally confused. Like I said, it was only through proper catechesis and actually the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, primarily initially through the broadcasting of KFUO to your program and others, and pointing me to the confessions and back to the scriptures.
Now, Frank, I want you to expand a little bit on what you said. You said two words, gift language. What do you mean by that?
Well, the scriptures speak strictly in terms of we are passive recipients of the grace of God. We're and it says this in so many ways in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament, even in passages in Ezekiel and Jeremiah about I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and I'll place my my laws and statutes inside you. I'll give you a new heart. And the New Testament continues on that, where Paul keeps calling you the household of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. The whole thing is to create a new heart, to circumcise your heart, create a new creation. Neither man nor a woman, if male nor female, Jew nor Greek. The whole thing is recreation-type language, and it's all gift. He wants to gift you. He gives things to you graciously to you. You can't even ask for them. That's what the definition of grace is. You don't even know that you need anything, but he's bountiful. He's gracious to you. He gives them to you, and he enlightens your mind, like Luther explained in the explanation of the third article of the Creed.
Yeah, you've already mentioned that one, Frank. Well, look, let's talk about, thank you for calling. Chris Ann, are you understanding what he means by gift language?
I totally understand. My question is, I understand why Mike and all these other people have the same idea.
Yes.
But when you're reading the Bible, for instance, you're reading that verse from Joshua, choose you this day and when you will serve, whom you will serve. How do you know that Joshua is speaking to a believer versus an unbeliever?
From the context. The context, Scripture interprets Scripture. And it's very clear that what he is speaking to are the people of God. And so if that's the context, then he's not talking about, how shall I say it? He's not talking about what an individual who is an unbeliever is supposed to do, but rather what only believers are able to do.
Because that is very important. If you don't know that distinction, you would obviously read that as a work.
Yes. By the way, that is in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. So why don't we just take a look at that for a minute. In verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and may cleave unto him, for he is thy life, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. And these are the words which Moses is saying there. The Joshua passage is Joshua 24, verse 15. This is where Joshua speaks. He says, And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which her fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, who's he talking to? He's talking to the people of Israel that have come into the land, and at this point they defeated a lot of the land. And so now, he's saying, does it seem evil for you to serve the Lord? No. Choose this day whom you will serve. So believers can choose.
They can choose evil?
Oh, well, it's called sin.
Hmm.
See, in the sanctified life, every time we sin, that's choosing evil.
I thought there was no evil anymore.
In what sense?
I don't know. You said that last week.
No, I didn't say there was
I always feel like there is evil in the world because there's so many bad things that people do, and it's just
yeah,
awful.
I might have been in another context. I was talking about, you know what the Lord's Prayer says? Forgive us our trespasses, lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from
evil.
Now, what does that mean in your mind? Believe it or not,
I feel like that was my own sin.
No.
No.
It's actually referring to the devil.
Oh.
In fact, in the original Greek, it's the evil one. Now, are you delivered from the evil one in the sense that you are no longer in his kingdom?
Yes.
So in that sense, evil has been done away with in the sense you are no longer in the kingdom of the devil. He's judged. The deed is done. He cannot harm you. A mighty fortress is our God. Yet he still can tempt you and cause you to sin. But that sin doesn't even send you to hell because Jesus forgives that if you're in faith. So the devil is still strong, and there's lots of evil in the world, if we understand it, as things that are going against what God intended. But that doesn't mean that we need to fear the evil one. He's done. He's judged. The deed is done. He can't harm us. So that's what I meant, I think, in the context there. But there still is plenty of evil going on in the world.
Hmm.
So a Christian, every time they make a decision about something that could be sin, people can make decisions, and boy, in Hollywood, you know, it's pretty easy to be tempted in a lot of ways just walking down some of those streets, if you know what I mean, with
yeah.
the women around, and you need to make a decision. If you're a man, are you going to go with that woman or not? And if you go with her, then you're choosing evil, and if you don't, you're serving the Lord.
It's just a different life. I mean, there's a pretty girl every 5 feet. I mean, it's just different.
Well, they're not as pretty as you.
Oh.
Yeah. Every 10 feet, that's what happens. Well, what street were you on? Because I sure didn't see that. I don't know.
Well, this is my question. I think when people reject and they fall away, they fall away based on their feelings.
They fall away based on their feelings.
That's the only reason. Why do you get divorced? Why do you sin? Why do you do anything? Everything's based on how you feel.
Okay, could I rephrase it, and we'll talk about it when we get back?
Yes.
Can we not say they fall away based on their experience, which leads to certain feelings?
Yes.
We'll talk about that when we get back from the break. Tom Baker, Chris Ann Brunsman, we're anxious to have you phone us at 505-7850, and please stay with us through the break.
On the next Joy, if I mention the name Tchaikovsky, I know what comes to mind. Great symphonies and concertos, operas and ballets, overtures with bells and cannons. But how about Russian liturgical music? No? This is Ron Clem. You're in for a very special treat. This week on Joy. Listen for Joy on the web at KFUO.org. And Sunday afternoons at 4:05 on AM 850 KFUO.
You used to nurse me.
Change my diapers.
Take care of me 24 hours a day.
Mom.
Dad.
I need you.
There's all these things I'm feeling that I never felt before.
I need to know about sex, love,
values.
I need you to tell me what you think.
I need you to tell me where you stand.
Help me make the right choices.
Mom.
Dad.
Talk with me.
You always say I'm still your little girl.
A message from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
I'm Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. Communicating affection to your spouse through everyday actions can improve other aspects of your relationship. My colleague Dr. James Dobson explains.
The sexual relationship is a product of what goes on the other 23 and a half hours of the day.
In other words, when you are close and when you are in love with one another and when you look out for one another's feelings and needs, then the sexual relationship is a natural outgrowth of that. I suggest first start with the romantic aspect of the relationship, and then I think they'll see some dramatic changes in the physical side of it.
You know, men and women often view the sexual relationship differently. If a woman doesn't feel emotionally close to her husband, she may be unable to enjoy the experience. A practical tip for men is to focus more on the emotional and romantic aspects of your marital relationship. You'll find that it'll go a long way toward improving the physical aspects of the relationship. For more on having a healthy marriage, go to family.org.
Dr. Paul Meyer with memories of his father, KFUO founder Walter A. Meyer.
Well, he would be thrilled that KFUO stayed true to its gospel roots. The call letters KFUO, he immediately gave meaning to those by saying KFUO means keep forward, upward, onward. KFUO is the oldest religious broadcasting station in the world. That's a marvelous record. And I think my dad would be especially proud of the fact that KFUO and its sister station, KFUO-FM, have become worldwide also through internet streaming. It's a thrilling thing. I know that I can't get my work done in Kalamazoo, Michigan without having Classic 99 on. In the background of my computer, I use it all the time. Whether I'm doing research in Jerusalem or Paris or London, I always tune into KFUO worldwide.
Celebrating 85 years of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. AM 850, KFUO.
We all know that we shouldn't be date-setting Christ's return, but it's obvious that it can't be more than years, right? Here's what Pastor Don Moore said on the Bible study.
I don't think you can say that precisely because that's the way Jesus talked about it. It is going to be a surprise when it comes, and it might be tomorrow, and it might be in 1,000 years, and there's no way for us to know that. I think if you look through Scripture in the New Testament, you will find the Gospel of Mark full of words like immediately, because he feels the urgency, and he's right there next to Jesus. Paul speaks of that urgency because the time is coming. Gosh, the Old Testament talks like that. So the urgency is supposed to be there. We should know that he's coming any minute and act that way. And I don't think you can look down through history. I mean, it's been 2,000 years plus since Jesus left, and not one of the church fathers has let that urgency go.
The only date setting you should do is to set a date to listen to us, the Bible Study, weekday mornings, 10:05.
Tom Baker and
Chris Ann
are back on the line here on Open Mic Friday. And Mike, we're still waiting for you to phone in with that Bible verse. We really do want to hear your explanation, and so please don't hesitate to do so. We'll move you up to the front. The numbers are 505-7850. That's for you in the St. Louis area. Toll free 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address is lawgospel@kfuo.org. Chris Ann is feverishly writing notes. I gave her a whole sheet of paper, and it's almost finished. We have to give her another sheet here. But we were talking about feelings and experience. And why don't you follow up with that, what you were thinking there, Chris Ann?
I was just talking about, I feel like a lot of people fall away because they feel they reject the God or whatever because of their experience. But not just their experience, but their feelings. And what you were saying was their experience leads to feelings. But also, I feel like it's a lack of experience because a lot of people have hope in something. So they'll pray for something and pray for something, pray without ceasing, pray for 15 years for something to happen, and sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And they fall away because they feel like, why isn't this working out, or why am I in this position, or whatever. So if love and all these different things are in the Bible as an attitude, how does that relate to your feelings? I mean, we have all these promises that are connected to everything so that we can trust that, and the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to do that. But we are still human, and God gives us feelings, and he gives us all these things to feel joy and sadness to the deepest levels, which is what makes you really human and able to feel certain things. I feel like when you have things that are really bad happen to you and you are stretched so far, it actually gives you the ability to feel deeper, appreciate people, appreciate the world. I mean, I understand why certain bad things happen. But then there's other times where there's no sense of it and you have to trust God. But I'm just saying, I think there's some people where everything happens great for. There's other people where it's tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. And that would make me question.
Okay, let me ask you this. Which is the bigger curse? Things work out all the time well, or tragedy after tragedy after tragedy?
Well, you know, ignorance is bliss. I mean, come on now. I think, I mean...
Which way did you answer?
I think that when bad things happen and you go on this roller coaster of life, you are blessed in a way because you have such an appreciation for God and for all the different things in life.
Yes.
So I think that gives you a full life that you would have never had had you just been living this perfect, I have $1 million, $1 billion and everything's going on great and I have these perfect children and da 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 da. I mean, that's all wonderful, but you just don't have the ability to grasp things that you do when things happen. So I get it. But what I'm saying is God says, pray without ceasing, always pray to me, then your will becomes my will. But that's not always true. I mean, how do we know, would God really ever change his will? You know, it's like, I'm going to pray that, you know, I have perfect health. I mean, I remember praying for people, and then the next weekend, they died.
Yes. And so was your prayer answered?
No.
Oh, okay. Now, let me ask
you. And let me tell you why. Because when I prayed for this person, I said, and this person was, like, young, in their 20s, happy, healthy, normal person. I just pray for them normally. So I said, please keep this person and my family to happy, healthy, and safe.
Right.
That's why I always say, happy, healthy, and safe. 2 days later, bam.
Okay.
So I have to tell you, I felt let down.
I know. That's the way, because there was a part of the prayer you missed.
Okay.
When we pray for something God's promised, like a baby being baptized, we just thank God that the child is brought into the kingdom of heaven because he's promised that.
Okay.
We don't have to ask. But when I prayed for my motorcycle when I was a kid, what did I always add to the prayer? I would like a motorcycle if it is...
Fast? if it is your will.
Right. Jesus did that in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, the Holy Spirit took your prayer, because you're a Christian in Romans 8... He refashioned that prayer about health and added that to it so that when it got God the Father, Chris Ann's prayer was, please have these people healthy if it be your will. And God answered, yes, it will be according to my will, and he allowed them to die.
But that's the other thing that I get. I have to be honest with this lovely radio audience. I get a little frustrated because it's like, if God's going to do what he's going to do anyway, why do I have to pray?
Oh,
because it's humbling? I mean, really. Because you don't see results from prayer.
When we go out to eat at a restaurant, we pray.
Yes, because it's a prayer of thanksgiving.
But God already knows it and already did it the last time I was at a restaurant.
Yes,
why do I keep doing it?
Because you are trying to be thankful. It's like if you gave me a brand new shirt, I'd be, oh my gosh, so thank you, Pastor Tom. I love my new shirt. I'd be very grateful that I have a new shirt and I feel good and da-da-da-da. But if I ask you for something, I'm asking for something to get.
That's right. And if you say, if it be your will, and I think you don't need a good shirt, that'll be my will that you don't get a good shirt, and you'll thank me for making a good decision. How many times do kids ask for things that are bad for them, or that God doesn't see the whole picture? Well, let's bring somebody in on this conversation. We're going to come back to this, but let's go to the phone lines right now, and first of all, talk to Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Pastor.
And Chris Ann.
Hi, Chris. Oh, I know. I was going to say, hi, Chris Ann, and I was going to forget Pastor.
Okay, we'll go to our next caller right now.
No. Oh, I think this discussion really ties in with yesterday when you were teaching us about...
Pleading the blood of Jesus, yes.
Well, I mean, that's the same thing. I mean, you're asking a blessing on... everything to go smoothly, you know. And I'll tell you how I am. When everything is running smoothly, I do pretty good. And it's only in the tribulation when, well, Christian, you'll understand this. Say, Perry Mason, you don't remember Perry Mason, but the court things on TV where the prosecutor puts someone, the guilty party, on the stand he may or may not be the defendant, the Prairie Mason, he would get this guy on the stand and he would crank up the pressure until this defendant broke and he just lost it. And I guess that's what tribulation does to me. I just, when I'm in the tribulation, when I'm in trouble, this is where I, you know, I realize, you know, I have no patience, I have no love, I have no joy, I have no faith. And he says, how do you plead? And I say, I plead the blood of Jesus, you know? And that blood is packed with his identity, his righteousness, his faith, his love. And all of this is put upon me. And so, you know, we can't come to that conclusion until we're in trouble. And these are blessings when God gives us, I think they're from his hand. When we belong to God, it's always from his precious hand that we have these, what we would call not answered prayers or problems or trouble. And Pastor, you were saying he exchanges his righteousness for my rags, see? And that's what I call pleading the blood, you know?
Understood in that way, that would be good.
Yeah.
I understand that, where you're pleading the blood of Jesus for forgiveness. Remember yesterday I said I did agree with them that pleading the blood is appropriate for forgiveness. I said it was not appropriate if they thought they would certainly be delivered from a specific problem or protected from something. You can walk around your house 1,000 times pleading the blood of Jesus, and if a tornado comes through, that doesn't protect your house.
Well, you know, what I'm afraid of, Satan does not want you to reach that conclusion of sin. And so you're pleading the blood, and everything's just going to run real smooth, and you don't have any problems, and you don't see your sin. You don't see
yes.
that I am a sinner, and I am a mess. And the fiery trials of our faith, these are a gift from God. And
Let's see if Chris Ann has a response. Stay on the line, Linda.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is my question, Pastor Tom.
Well, and to Linda.
And to Linda. So God, isn't there a verse about how God has his hand on you?
Pardon me?
Isn't there a verse about how God has his hand on you? Or is that just like an English translation of something?
Well, the concept is absolutely correct, that he holds you in his hand.
Hand. Sure.
Okay. I wouldn't have any problem with that if you're his child.
Sure. So this is what I'm saying is, I understand giving thanks of praise, right? Because
mm-hmm.
you're thankful for a situation, or you're thankful that he brought you through this, or you're thankful to be alive, you're thankful for this
sure.
food, you're
sure.
thankful that you're so healthy, which I feel so happy now because my back is getting better, and until something bad happens, you don't realize how healthy you were. Like all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But when you physically are praying for something, I understand how, you know, it can be humbling and things because you don't get what you want or whatever. But if God really has you in his hands, why have to pray for things? Because he really is all over it anyway. It's not like he's just going to give you what you're asking for. So why even ask?
Well, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That means that it's kind of like if my son or let's say daughter Catherine wanted something from me and she was mad at me because I never gave it, I would say, well, why didn't you ask me for it? In our situation, God doesn't need to hear our prayer. He already knows our needs.
That's what I'm saying.
Therefore, our asking of him is a sign of worship that he is the one from whom it is coming. In other words, when I say at a restaurant, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, the food doesn't get any more blessed than it already was. It's a reminder to me that it is God who is the source. So prayers are really a kind of confession. They are not for the purpose of giving information to God that he isn't aware of. How's that sound, Linda?
Sounds good. Yeah.
That's good, because there's a lot of people.
I'm sorry,
I didn't mean to cut you off. There's a lot of pastors who even say, just keep praying, just keep praying, just trust God this year, things are going to get better. Just keep praying, pretty soon you'll be blessed, that kind of thing.
Right, right.
And that's the thinking that we get used to.
Yes.
And then you get frustrated and get fall away. That was my point.
Okay, Linda, thank you for calling.
Thanks, Linda.
Thank you.
We're just going to move right down the line to Brian. Hi, Brian. Brian, are you still there?
No, we lost him.
Oh, well. Brian, you can phone back. Then we'll just go to Jan. Jan, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Pastor.
And you're from?
I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh.
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, awesome. I know someone in Atlanta.
Really?
I do.
Yeah. Well, I'm a member of Grace Lutheran, and we're actually the only LCMS church in the city limits.
Wow. Really?
So
okay.
Very interesting.
If you know them, send them there.
Okay. He said there's a church on every corner.
Well, yeah, but not LCMS. So we can love on him and make sure he has good biblical basis and feed him, too.
Okay.
What's your question, Jan?
It's a comment.
Yes.
3 John 1, verse 2 says, Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Somebody said, if you pray, why worry? And if you worry, why pray? We're not called to, as children, tell God what he needs to do in our circumstances. And a lot of the time, if it's going well for us, maybe we think on some visceral level that it's because of us. We have to constantly remember that whether we live or die is to the Lord. And I'm just thinking that another passage where Paul talks about not many of you were wise according to worldly standards, not many were powerful. Implicit in that for me is not many are wise, but some are. And
yes.
If you have the anointing of God's word of knowledge or a word of wisdom to be able to interpret his word to edify the people, you need to speak into that situation. When, you know, God was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham knew his nephew, his estranged nephew Lot, was living in the midst of that corruption. And he was like, God, if you can find 10 people, can you save that place?
Mm-hmm.
And God, you know, respected that prayer. So he knows what's going to happen, but sometimes we need to stand in the gap as intercessors for people who can't or don't know to pray for themselves.
Yes, and God will even, through your prayer, even help those who are unbelievers.
Mm-hmm, exactly. You know, he blesses the evil and the righteous.
Well, it rains on the farm of an unbeliever as well as on a believer.
Exactly.
But it also can have a big earthquake, tornado, or hurricane on the farm of a believer or unbeliever.
So, you know, can you interpret good health as being in God's will and him knowing you as a soul? What do you think, Pastor?
In the same way that I would interpret when the doctor tells me that I have a disease or I need surgery, that I'm still in God's graces.
Exactly.
He's now using a doctor to help me through the situation, and I give him praise and honor and glory because his promise is sure that he will never give me more than I can handle.
Yeah, I remember some years ago I had skin cancer, and it was when people hear cancer and they...
Oh, yes.
You know? So I felt fine. There there was no indication that was cancer.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's kind of where we are in Christ. We're redeemed, but we're still sinful. So we feel like it's okay with us, but we constantly have to go to God in prayer and confession and repentance and reflection. to, you know, so that that Holy Spirit can speak to us in our situation.
Chris Ann's got a Bible verse for you and a question. Go ahead, Chris Ann.
So Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What does that mean, Tom?
So your question is, what does it mean he's going to reward you?
Yes.
Do you want to take a stab at that, Jan?
When we, you know, I think that's, isn't that around the passage where you practice your righteousness to influence people so that they can give you things?
Yeah, what Jesus is talking about is beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them.
Yeah.
For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven.
From your Father.
Yes.
So
what's
what reward are we seeking?
Yes.
When Jesus tells us to go to the Father privately, we are seeking that heavenly reward.
That's right, that his promises will be true in your particular life.
Right.
Whereas, you did really well here, John, because you asked for the context, and that's what you have to look at. And what he is saying here is, do not pray like the hypocrites. Truly I say, they have received their reward, which is what? And that is...
Oh, you're so pious. You're so righteous.
Exactly, the pleasure of others. But when you pray, don't make a big pretense out of it. Instead, do it because of your love for the Father, and he who sees you will reward you, which means his pleasure now is upon you. And guess what? All his promises are coming true because you are his child.
Right.
Why can't it just say that?
Well, because
it does in the context.
Yeah, but man,
I don't see the word promise anywhere. Why can't it just say this is the promise? Okay.
Man sharpens man as iron sharpens iron. You know, a couple of weeks ago we had the New Testament lesson about Philip and the eunuch.
Yes.
And so he's running along the road to Gaza, and he overhears the eunuch reading from Isaiah. And he says, "Do you know what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how will I know unless somebody
tells me?" Right.
So, see, that's the wonderful, beautiful thing about being in the body of Christ. We bear each other's burdens. And sometimes that burden is unfamiliarity
yes.
with what God's Word is saying and what God's Word says. So,
What's interesting here is right after he says, you will receive your reward, guess what he then teaches them is the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
In verse 9, and here are the promises. His name will be hallowed, his kingdom will come, his will be done. You will receive daily bread, and your sins will be forgiven, and you will be not led into temptation. So that's where I would go, Chris Ann, to show you that these are promises. The rewards you get are promises of grace that God has given to his people.
And one last comment. I'm sorry. I'll get off.
Oh, good.
But yeah. The talents. You know how he gave servants five
yes.
and two and one.
Right. Exactly.
And the one talent guy.
He hit it. Yeah.
What is that talent?
What is that talent?
Yes.
Well, that's going to take us too far afield right now to go into that. But what's your feeling?
All I'm saying is we are called to use what we have been given. And
I'm a little different on that parable than that. We don't have time to get into
okay.
that. See, that would mean that you see, I don't think it has anything to do with money or stewardship.
No.
It has everything to do with whether you're a believer. The guy hit it because he didn't believe the man was coming back. The others took their life in their hands and worked in the marketplace for the purpose of witnessing to Jesus. And that he doesn't call them just good. He calls them faithful because he believed their promises. But that's another area. We've got people on the line right now. I'll just give you one Bible verse on reward, because that's really pretty good. Colossians 3:24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive your reward as the inheritance. And what do you do to get an inheritance?
Nothing,
you get nothing. And so these are called gracious rewards. Let's go talk to Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Very quickly, I just had a thought. Was, well, Jesus prayed for his disciples in the end of the book, you know, end of John, rather.
Yes.
Says, I have prayed for you. Now, let's, instead of looking at why I have to pray, maybe it would be good to ponder why Jesus was praying. And there were things that Jesus didn't know. He says, I don't know certain things like the day and the hour that the Son of Man is going to come back. And maybe we're getting too introspective about the question, and it's leading us into something that we almost gaze at ourselves too much. So I was going to throw that comment out. You know, Jesus prayed for his disciples, even though theoretically, you know, the Godhead knew everything. So,
okay, thank you. In fact, let me give you a verse where I desire, this is right out of that prayer in John 17, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Now, did Jesus not know that was going to happen? No, I think he did, because he read the Old Testament. And he knew from before the foundation of the world he was loved. He even says that here. So what is he praying for his disciples? It's really a reminder to the disciples that God is going to keep his promises. So in Jesus saying a prayer, look what he says in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be your will. See, he adds, if it be your will. And God says, yes, I will give you an answer to that. The answer is, yes, it will be my will. You will go to the cross. So when you add, if it be your will, you're allowing God to make the decision, knowing that whatever he decides, he sees the big picture, and it's always going to be the better decision than what you initially desired. We're going to be, can you believe we're done the hour?
I know.
Well, we're coming back for another one.
I know.
And Arthur, please stay on the line, or you can hang up and then call back in about 6 minutes. We want to thank Mike and Frank, Linda and Jan and Steve for calling. And we're looking forward to talking to Arthur when we get back, and others of you at 505-7850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. I'm Tom Baker with Chris Ann Brunsman, actor from Hollywood. And you can be asking her questions, and she's going to continue to participate with us in this next hour of Open Mic Friday. Please stay with us through the break.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.